Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
It is exactly 12 minutes after 7. Welcome to it. This is Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. And you are listening to Godfrey Mwabi in the program called Thursday Life. And well, I believe that you're having a great time there. I normally say this statement. I know that we are going through a lot as a nation, not only as a South African nation, but the world over due to COVID-19. But hey, that doesn't change the one who created us. That doesn't change the fact that greater is he who's in us than he that is in the world. I'm actually trying to show you something there that maybe you might be distracted from. The fact that, hey, he doesn't change. He remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, that's what I'm saying right now. I believe that you're having a great time. Yes, we acknowledge the challenges of life, but hey, he remains the same, like I said there. So we are going to be talking to somebody from the Global Business Roundtable, and without any waste of time, we are now joined by Mr. Karabo Mokgane. Mr. Mokgane is with us on the line. Mr. Mokgane, good evening and welcome to the Pulpit.
Good evening, my brother. How are you doing?
I can't complain, sir. And you?
I'm all right. Thank you very much.
Good. Good to hear from you, man. And tell us a little bit about Karabo. Who's Karabo Mokgane? And I want to know where you were born and raised. That's very important to me.
Karabo is a musician by profession, firstly. But I was born in Johannesburg, originally from Bushbuckridge, Great Shatare. And then we moved to Nelspruit at a very young age. And yeah,
wait a minute. How can you be born in Johannesburg and originate from Bushbuckridge? So confused, I mean, bro.
Yeah, so what happened is my mom was studying at the University of Wits.
Okay.
And then, so she was pregnant with me while she was doing her honors, I believe.
Okay.
Excuse me. She was doing her honors. Then she gave birth to me there in Johannesburg, in a hospital in Johannesburg. I'm just not sure exactly which one it is.
Okay.
Yeah, and then obviously went back to Bushbuckridge.
Now I understand.
Yeah. So that's how it all happened.
Okay.
And then I think when I was 3 or 4, we moved to Alfred.
Your line is not that clear. So if you can maybe move around for us, because we tend to miss you, lose out on what you are trying to tell us there. If
you can move you hear me now?
Yes, much better. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we moved to Alfred when I was 4. And then I believe that's where my life sort of started, and that's where my love for music started as well. Because I guess that's where I got opportunities like Sunday school to lead and sing. And a lot of people enjoyed my singing that, such that whenever people came over to visit at home, they were like, Karabo here, Karabo can sing for us, Karabo can dance for us, Karabo. So I was just that person who would entertain people whenever they came over at home, and I loved it, you know.
Yeah, the line is still not clear, Karabo. Yeah, still not clear. Do you have a table near you there? A table or a chair, maybe, bro. If you can sit on a table on top of a table.
Can you hear me now?
You are much better.
Yes.
Okay, so are you born in a musical family? Were your parents, artists or what is it, or is it my only mom, you who is into music?
No, my whole family. My mom actually was a choir director, and so she was the principal of a particular school, and she was the choir director of that very choir in the school, and she won a lot of trophies with them.
Wow.
She went national with them, you know. So yeah, so the love for music, I get it from my mother, because she is more of a singer than my dad is.
Okay.
But my dad is musical in his own way.
Wow. So I just got a message here from Dama Ifala, who's listening to us from Botswana. She's saying to us that he's listening and while he's driving. So you've got listeners, Baba, people who are listening to you from neighboring countries.
Wow, man, that's amazing.
that's fantastic. So you are saying that you are a musician by profession. That means you studied music at school.
I kind of studied music, but I didn't really study it. You know, like it's. I think it was more of a gift that I got from God, and I tried to improve it by learning certain things. But in my own capacity, I didn't really go to school for it. I just learned, you know, on the street, you know, when people certain terms that they used and stuff like that, and I understood, you know, and even playing certain instruments, I learned, but not by going to school, but just.
Self-taught.
Just watching other people doing it. Yeah, so self-taught, yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And for how long have you been doing it professionally?
I've been doing it professionally for almost 5 years. It'll be 5 years in November this year.
Oh, wow. And how many albums do you have?
I've got 2 albums and I've got 5 singles. Yeah.
Okay. And they're all total. Gospel, right?
No, not even. I do have a gospel song on my first album.
What is it?
It's called Greater Days.
Okay.
And then on my second album, I've got a song that is, for me when I wrote it, it was it's a love song directed to God, but you can also use it, you know, to a particular person of interest you might be interested in.
I'm very, very creative, Baba. I write my own letters. I speak to a woman using my own words, Baba. That thing I would use Karabo's words, the next thing Karabo will be breaking a race. If it was not because of me, you wouldn't be having that woman. No way.
No, not even. So I'm saying that if you listen to it,
yeah,
it's like a love letter to God.
Oh,
but
okay.
At the same time, it can also be used because the wording is also, you can also use it. Like if ever you want to make a person of interest that you like or that you love, you can use it. You can use it. And it works.
For Baba Shule Malini. Nah, it's good for this Baba Shule Malimi, Baba. Hey, not next up. Hey, Shabu blind. All right, now tonight we you are also a winner, SA Idol winner. Tell us a little bit about that before we get into the whole message of us, you know, God's blessing when you least expect it, before you can get to that topic or that message there. Tell us more about you being an Idol winner.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I think for me, it's something that I've always wanted to do. But I think timing was everything. So I believe it was I wanted to go. And it was probably like just after I finished the trick, I was so excited, you know, I'm going to go to Idols. And my dad was like, nah, not going to happen. You need to go to university or you need to go and study. So there I was, going to university, studied, did my first, second year, third year. Unfortunately, I couldn't complete due to financial constraints. And then I then came back home. So the year that I came back home, which was 2015, then I told my dad, since I can't go to school, can I go and audition, you know? And at first it was a bit of a hurdle, you know, because obviously I come from a very staunch, like, Christian home, you know? My dad is a pastor. So obviously for him it was like, why would you go to a competition that does not speak to, you know, Christians? Why can't you do like a competition where it's a gospel competition or something like that? So I was like, but I mean, what if God is sending me there to be the light to those that don't know him? You know, what if I'm the one who's been sent out there to go and share the light for them? You know, and eventually he agreed. My brother spoke to him, so did my other sisters, and he agreed, and I went.
Wow.
And my prayer to God was, if I get a gold ticket, then I must win it. If I don't get a gold ticket, then it means it was never meant to be. And went there, got my golden ticket, and started praying from then on. And I I used to fast at least once a week. I think it was a Wednesday that I did. Every Wednesday I would fast, and I would dedicate the show on Sunday when I performed to God. And God, help me out. You brought me this far. I don't think you're going to let me go right now, you know. And God was faithful, you know. And then I won amongst, I think, to about 68,000 people that auditioned that year. And out of 68,000 people, I came number one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Brack. Which year was that?
2015.
Oh, 2015.
Season 11.
Okay, yes. And obviously they gave you a lot of money there. And you bought yourself
over par. It's good money. It's good money, man. It's good money.
Bought,
and I got myself a car.
Over a par.
Yeah, I got myself a nice car.
Well, fantastic. God's blessing when you least expect it. Tell us more about that. What actually happened for you to end up penning this interesting, heading?
You know, my man, I always say that, you know, when God comes into your life, or when at least when you receive God in your life, it's more than just praying and saying, God, I receive you, amen, you know, and continuing the way that you used to live. It's basically you being able to understand that your life is no longer the same, you know, and you start behaving and carrying yourself like somebody who understands that you being a Christian is not just for you, it's also for other people. You know, especially those that don't know who God is or don't know about Christ at all. There's a song by Kirk Franklin that says that you might be the only Jesus they see, you know. And he was basically speaking to every individual or every Christian, for that matter, that there are people out there who don't know who Christ is, but through you, they can see who God is, you know. And for me, God in my life, man, has been incredible. God has, like, if anybody was to come and tell me that there is no God out there, I'll be the first one to protest it because I've seen him in my life, you know, plenty of times, from a very young age, you know, and even growing up into being the age that I am today, I've seen God in so many things, you know, whether family matters, whether it's my own matters that I had to deal with, God was there. You know, he's never left me, even in the darkest moments, even when I feel like I'm about to give up, God is there, you know. And his blessings, man, I can't even count. I don't even know where to start, you know. And even people around me get to benefit from the goodness of God in my life, you know, without me even having to do anything, but just them being around me. They get to benefit just because God is with me and is within me, you know? I just think for me, when you understand that for you to be who you are and for you to have all that you have and for you to still be alive, it is because God allows it or God permits it. We don't live because we can or because we deserve to, but we live because God allows her to, you know. I mean, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, I think, verse 4, it talks about, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, you know. That should basically make you understand that if ever he's known you that long, it means that he has the ability to take you at any time because he's given you this life. He can take it at any time, you know. So when you still have a chance to live, make sure that you have an impact in people's lives. Make sure that you touch as many lives as possible because the life that you have is not for you. It's for others. You know, I always like using the narrative that when people are getting married, they always get told that it's your family's wedding, it's your marriage. Oh. You know, so, yeah.
Are
so for me... No, I'm not. I'm not.
I knew it. Don't ask me why. Because people
Why?
Who are not married are always, you know, the ones that give marital advices. So
it's not even marital advice. It's just,
yeah, but
I just like
about
the phrase.
Marriage,
you know?
As if they know marriage. You know,
I don't know marriage. I don't know. I can't even speak for marriage. But what I'm trying to say is that when God is in your life, yeah. He owns everything else. You know what I mean?
Yes.
and then there's a certain portion that he gives for you, and the portion that he gives you, make sure that you use it wisely, you know, and that you, what I'm saying, for
you know,
me...
Before I got married, I used to give a lot of marital advice, even on my shows, but ever since I got married, all those advices stopped. I don't know what happened. Just don't know what happened.
Hey, man,
that was very good at it, eh?
No, because you see, it's easier to give advice sometimes when you're not necessarily in a situation.
But
like
it worked.
That,
but
know?
It worked for those couples, you know. It worked for them. I think I was just anointed for that, you know.
For that season.
Yeah. So I'm not surprised. But Lena got only that anointing, bro.
Maybe we can marry one. But I hope that even when I'm married, I can still give advice. I can't remember. Imagine. Oh, my goodness.
It can be fantastic. So, all you are saying, Kuhore, sometimes it happens when you least expect it. That's what you can say to our listeners right now, more especially those who are going through a lot. I mean, we know the issue here, COVID-19 is affecting almost all of us. There was nobody who's not directly or indirectly affected by COVID-19.
Everybody.
Is it a message of hope to everybody that is affected by
COVID-19? Yeah. You know what it is? I think for me, nobody expected. Nobody saw it coming, you know. And it hit people in different ways. Some financially, some got sick, you know. Some lost family members. You know, each person had something to suffer because of this thing, you know.
And speaking on behalf of the artists and the music industry, I think your industry is the worst hit, man.
It's the worst, man.
What
it's
can
the
you
worst.
Say to all those that might be listening right now who are from your industry?
My man, for me, you know, I want to say to them that I am going through exactly what they're going through. So even financially, it has hit me hard, and I'm sure Liwana, it has hit them as well. You know, so obviously, certain luxuries that you're accustomed to, you can no longer access those things. You know, so you have to cut down on certain things. But what I do want to say to them is that whatever it is that you've lost during this season, God will multiply in the next season. I mean, if you look at the story of Job, the book of Job, where he, you know, just his story on how he lost everything because the devil was saying that the reason why Job is such a good man is because you've given him everything. But strip away everything from him and see what he's going to do, you know. But Job remained and having faith in God, regardless of him being sick, in him having all the sores in his body, him losing his wife, his children, you know, his inheritance, his flock, everything that he lost, you know, he still believed in God. And I'm saying in this moment, it's easy for a lot of us as musicians or anybody else, any other profession who is suffering, to be like, you know what, God is not available right now. He's not helping me out. I'm suffering. I lost my car. I lost my house. I'm losing this. I'm losing that. It's easy for us to just, you know, just give up, you know. But my message to them is hold on to God, you know. Just a little longer, you know, something is about to transform, something is about to change in your life. And I'm speaking from experience that even where I am right now, it's so hectic, you know, but I'm still holding on. I'm still believing that when this season ends, you know, God is going to even do more than what I expected of him to do in my life, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so people just need to continue praying. I know it's not easy to pray when you're going through the most, but prayer is the one thing that unlocks certain things that maybe it was not easy for you to unlock, but prayer can unlock those things, and just faith in God alone.
Yes, sir. Karabo, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it right here because of time, but thank you very much for your time, and we wish you all the best. I don't know where I can find your music, man. I haven't really listened to any one of your songs there. Are you there? Are you on YouTube, or where else can you find your music? Karabo? My goodness, looks like I have lost Karabo there. Karabo, are you still there? Okay, that's Karabo Mohani on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. For more on, more information about Karabo and where you can also find his music, you can... talk to Ndate Jose Sehoa, and his number is 011 242 Where is it now? Where is it now? 011. Mana? Aki bona mana funo akaya yantsukudisa ki. Yeah, okay, kholaganya le na mo from the Global Business Roundtable, or you simply go to globalbusinessroundtable.com and you'll be able to get more information about Karabo. And okay, it's 011-242-8012. It's also on Facebook. His name is Karabo Mokgane on Facebook. Up next, Ndate Muruti David Malatse.
It's here. Radio Pulpit's new website is live. You can tune in at radiopulpit.co.za and enjoy crystal clear sound with just a click of a button, or listen to our podcasts. Discover biblical truths in our daily devotionals and let our stories of hope inspire you. You can download our app on this new look, easy to use platform. Find your favorite program, get to know our presenters, and so much more at radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet. Join this life on 657 AM.